Okay, we're going to try this over now. I'm at George Gallagher's residence and going to record some of his memoirs from the early years. And George tells me he is 82 years old, which is a quite a long time to be around, isn't it, George?
Sure is. Well, I'm born in 1893 on January the 12th. I'm farm out west of town here, about 5 miles. Must have been a cold day. I've been cold ever since. Well, anyway, our country school was just across the road from our house. I really should have grown up a lot smarter than I did, seeing school was that close. But anyway, I went to school there and through the seventh grade, and then I came in Wasika. Well, now I'm Sacred Heart for 1 month. I don't know, the sisters couldn't get along with me, so I went down to Central, and I don't know what was the matter with them. Anyway, it took me 2 years to get through the eighth grade down there. I would have made it the first year if the kid in front of me that had the right answers on his paper. He didn't make it either.
Was he German?
No, I don't know. He was a Norwegian. He must have been. But anyway, so the next year then I made it, and so I decided I didn't want to go to school anymore, and I wanted to be a farmer. And, well, my dad said, if you're going to be a farmer, he said, you better learn something about farming. So at that time, they used to have a 6 week short course up at the university, and grown up there that winter, and there was a whole bunch of farm kids up there, and oh boy, we really had a ball. First time off in the farm, you know, and all green and up in the big city. Well, we'd go over to school in the morning, and they just had roll call in the morning, so we'd stay for classes in the morning, and then we'd have lunch, and then in the afternoon, at about 4 or 5 of us, just to skip school, we'd go down to this Gaiety Theater. I don't know, I suppose some of you folks have heard about it. It probably isn't there anymore, it probably burnt down. They used to have some pretty odd shows there, I'm telling you. Well, anyway, after about 6 weeks, I knew all of us to know about farming, so I come home. And, well, I farmed with my dad then for about several years. Well, back in those days, all the farming was done with horses. I think we had about 22 head of horses on our farm. And everybody liked to trade horses. I'd rather trade horses than play golf. Anyway, in those days, the gypsies used to come through with a covered wagon. They'd have about 10, 12 head of horses tied behind.
No, just continue on where you were. The gypsy
boat. Well, they come through there one day, and I had they wanted to know if I had any horse I wanted to trade. And I said, sure, I did have one that was bulky, so I'll get out. So I went on and I looked over their bunch of horses, and I picked out a nice sorrel bronco. It had more brand on it than you'd find in the stockyard, I said, no. So, and while I was trading horses with the gypsies, the kids stole all the eggs out of my chicken coop. So anyway, the next day I decided, but when you trade horses with gypsies, no matter how good a horse you have, you still have to pay them boot. So I give them $10 to boot, and made the trade anyway. And so next day, I thought I'd see how good a trade I made. So I loaded up a load of wheat at the granary, and I hitched this bronco up with a perfectly good horse. Well, you guessed it. She was worse than the one I traded. She wouldn't tighten up that. So I had some tricks, you know. I dropped 3 or 4 curls of shot in her ear, and she just shook her head. That was no good. So somebody told me spit in her eyes. So I spit tobacco juice in her eye, and that wasn't any good either. So I sawed her wind off, and that's when I found out she had the eaves. Now she wasn't only bulky, but she had the eaves along with it. So anyway, there was another farmer come along with a load of wheat on his way to town, and he said I was having trouble, so he stopped. And he picked up a handful of stones and he dropped it in her, and I says, I did that. He said, did you bite her ear? And I said, no. He said, did you spit in her eye? And I said, no. And I said, I tried all those things. He said, you get a rope, and I'll show you how to try and start that horse. So I got a rope, and he tied one end of the rope to her tail, and then tied her tail to the evener. And he said, now you get up in the wagon, and when she starts, he said, you pull on this rope and it'll untie. So I did that. And boy, when that rope tightened up on her tail, she went down that road like a dog with a tin can tied to her tail, you know. And she come just fine all the way over to the elevator. Well, when I got there, there was about 8 or 10 loads of wheat ahead of me, so I had to wait my turn. And all the while I was wondering what was going to happen now when come my turn to drive up on the scales. Sure enough, when come my turn, she wouldn't move. Well, with all those farmers, they all knew how to start a balky horse, though. But everything failed. So one guy went over to his wagon, got an armful of hay, and threw it on the ground under a little mash tun. When it got blazing up good, she made about 2 jumps, and she pulled the wagon on top of the fire, and then she stopped. So that wasn't too smart a trick either. Well, anyway, with all the help of the farmers, I got my wagon up on scales and got unloaded. I decided I wasn't too smart a horse trader. But say, you know, I had a neighbor, maybe some of you know him. His name was Thorvald Olson. He wasn't Irish either. And you know that guy could trade you anything. You know that fellow would trade you an old dried up well and make you believe you could use it for pulses? He was that good. But anyway, one Halloween night, there was a bunch of kids put a billy goat in my barn. Well, you know, the old saying, stunk like a billy goat, stubborn as a billy goat. And I couldn't get him out of the barn. So I called up Thorvald and I says, Thorvald, I got a billy goat in my barn, and if you'll come and get him, you can have him for free. Thorvald says, sure, I'll be right up. So a little while he came up with a sedan. In those days, you know, if you had an enclosed car, they called it a sedan. Well, we loaded the billy goat in the back seat of that car. Imagine taking your wife to church in that car the next Sunday. Well, anyway, just to show you how good he was, he started out with that billy goat, and he traded that billy goat for a calf, and he traded the calf for a colt, and he traded the colt for a cow, and he traded the cow for a side delivery hay rake in Quebec and sold the hay rake to me for $60. So anyway,
he made money.
Oh yeah.
George, what did you recall what you sold that wheat for possibly at that time?
But I think we got not more than 50 cents a bushel.
50 cents? Was the early days your farming was more diversified than
well,
it is now?
Or yeah, no, yeah, we raised, we were in everything. We raised wheat and barley and flax and rye and oats and...
Corn, I suppose.
Yeah, well, you see, with all them horses, I mean, it took us all summer to put up hay and grain for just the horses.
Right.
It took a lot of feed.
Farming was a lot different then, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Everything was done by hand.
Sure.
But,
George, you and Mary, your wife Mary, you were married when?
We were married in 1915.
You are now about to celebrate your 60th anniversary.
Well, yeah.
Gee, that's wonderful.
That's a long time. That's a long time for a girl to be living with me.
A long time for, yes, I should say so. George, another thing, you went to St. Mary's Church. Do you recall, I happened to be on the historical board, and of course we now have St. Mary's Church as a historical site, you know.
Yeah.
And was this church built when you were first started going, or is this...
Well, yeah, this church was, I forget the date that was printed up there, 1887, was that right? Could that be it?
No. I'll look, no, I thought maybe no, you...
I was out there not too long ago, and I don't think that date's on there anymore.
Whether
it's been painted over, I don't know.
I wish we could find this out, or we'll have to, because we're about to work on it. But the original church, as I understand it, burned.
The first one, well, yeah, well, that one burned before I was born.
As far as
I know, I think this church was the one that was there. One that I ever remember.
See. Well, I wasn't sure of the date, so...
I went out there a few years ago, and they wanted me to pass the shingle on that roof. And I don't know why I ever took a job like that. I thought that's closest to heaven I'll ever get when I get up there.
You did get on that roof.
I did, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that was really tough.
We have a problem with that roof now. We must redo it, I guess. But
Then you farmed for how many years on the...
Well, I farmed on that same farm. I was born and raised on that farm. I stayed there, and Mary and I sold out in 1946.
1946.
Yeah, so we...
So you've been 29 years retired then.
Oh, yeah. What do you mean retired?
Huh?
I don't know whether I retired or just... seemed to me, I kept busy ever since I come.
You've been golfing for 29 years, George.
Yeah, I know that, and I'm not very good at it yet.
I don't think anyone has more fun than you do. Well, George, then you had five children, is that
right? Yeah, that's right.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. There's Margie, she's married to a Baumgartner, and she lives in Bird Island. And then there's Raymond, and he's married to Rita Cordham,
mm-hmm.
and he lives here in Wasika. And then there's Helen Fowler, married to Harry Fowler.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Bob. He lives in Fairmont. He runs some mall and credo over there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Irene Nicklin. They live here in Wasika.
Mm-hmm.
Our family is all not too far away.
No, you get to see them quite often, don't you? Well, you know, I wished your wife Mary would come in here. I want to see. Have her say a few words. Mary, would you tell me, come in here and tell us a little bit about the early days? I understand that you practiced as a midwife at one time, Mary.
That only happened once, and that was an accident. Rogers came to our door at 5 o'clock in the morning and got us up. George and one of the neighbors went to took another team and sled and went after the doctor. They got there at 7:30, and the baby was born at 5:30.
Well, I'll be there. And you were the midwife.
Well, that was something.
That's fine. And the young man is still alive.
Yes, he lives in California.
Oh, yeah. Mary, during the early days, I understand you did quite a little baking. What was the reason for that?
We had a herd man and our five kids and us and two teachers staying there. So.
Oh.
I baked 20 loaves of bread every week.
Right.
All kinds of cakes and donuts, cookies. Kept me busy.
Did George teach you to make Irish stew, or have you ever?
No.
You made a good old basic German food, huh?
He lived this long with me, so I guess what I gave him was all right.
Yeah. Well, I think the wonderful thing about your marriage is the fact that you both have retained your health over all these years.
Yeah.
At least I don't recall either of you being too ill.
Well, he was sick for about 20 years with ulcers until he had the operation.
I remember he and I going to Stookie's to buy our sippy powders. I cured mine. George, of course, I worry that he might die prematurely because he isn't supposed to smoke. Well, I wish you many, many more years, and as you know, this recording will be in the Historical Society now for, we hope, for posterity, and so...
I played the organ out at St. Mary's Church for 12 years.
You did?
Yes.
Well, I didn't know that, Mary.
Yeah.
We're going to go out and revive it some way this summer. I have a committee working on it. I don't know what they'll come up with. We'd like to have a mass there and perhaps a homecoming, so to speak, of all the people that used to belong there, and even those that didn't, that are familiar with it. And then we thought probably a ice cream social or something, just to sort of make use of it annually. Well, I sure thank you, and we'll put this tape away